In August 1929, a prominent businessman named John Raskob told Americans they could get rich by investing just $15 monthly in stocks. The timing couldn't have been worse. Within weeks, the market crashed spectacularly, wiping out fortunes and ushering in the Great Depression. For generations, financial experts pointed to Raskob's article as proof of pre-crash delusion. But here's what almost nobody noticed. An investor who followed his advice, even starting at the absolute market peak, would have beaten bonds after just 4 years. After three decades, that disciplined investor accumulated 8 times more wealth than bondholders. This counterintuitive truth reveals something profound about investing that most people miss entirely. Time transforms risk in ways that defy our intuition. A dollar invested in stocks in 1802 would have grown to over $1.3 million in real purchasing power today, while bonds reached just $1,778 and gold a mere $5. The dollar itself lost 95% of its value. Stock returns averaged 6.6% annually after inflation across 210 years through wars, depressions, and technological revolutions. The American economy transformed completely from 80% agricultural to today's digital service economy, yet stock returns remained remarkably stable. This consistency stems from a simple mechanism. Companies retain earnings and reinvest them, creating compound growth that bonds cannot match. Bonds offer fixed lending rates. Stocks provide claims on productive assets that adapt and grow. In the 19th century, stocks were considered gambling instruments, while respectable investors chose bonds. Then, economist Edgar Lawrence Smith's 1925 research showed diversified stock portfolios outperformed bonds in both rising and falling markets, influencing even John Maynard Keynes to shift Britain's treasury toward equities. Even after the 1929 crash, Smith's insight held. Patient stock investors rarely waited more than 15 years to profit, a pattern persisting today. September 15, 2008, shattered market confidence. Lehman Brothers' collapse triggered instant panic. The Dow plummeted 500 points, Treasury yields dropped to 0.06%, unseen since the Great Depression, and money market funds broke the buck. Credit markets froze. The S&P 500 crashed 57%, erasing $11 trillion in U.S. wealth and $33 trillion globally. The culprit? A housing bubble built on flawed assumptions. Rating agencies studied decades of data showing home prices never fell more than 20% nationwide since World War II. They concluded diversified mortgage portfolios were risk-free, regardless of borrower quality. This logic infected Bear Stearns, Merrill Lynch, and AIG through complex derivatives masking true dangers. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke responded aggressively, slashing rates to near zero, guaranteeing money markets, creating emergency lending facilities, and implementing quantitative easing to inject liquidity into frozen markets. These interventions prevented total collapse. By late 2011, the U.S. recovered its lost output. The S&P 500 hit new highs by 2013. Patient equity investors who weathered the storm were rewarded, reinforcing a two-century pattern. Ask most people which investment is riskier, stocks or bonds, and they'll confidently answer stocks. Over short periods, they're right, but extend the timeline and something remarkable happens. Beyond 15, 20 years, stocks become less risky than bonds by standard deviation. Over 30 years, stock volatility drops to less than 3/4 that of bonds. The answer lies in mean reversion. Stock returns bounce back toward historical averages after deviating. Bonds do the opposite, especially during inflation when paper assets steadily lose purchasing power. Consider 1950, an investor choosing between solid Standard Oil or exciting IBM. Over 62 years, IBM crushed Standard Oil in every growth metric, sales, earnings, dividends. Yet Standard Oil proved superior, accumulating to $1,620,000 versus IBM's $810,000. The reason? Valuation. Standard Oil's price-to-earnings ratio was half of IBM's, and its higher dividend yield allowed investors to accumulate 12.7 times their original shares versus only 3.3 times with IBM. This reveals a crucial insight. What you pay matters as much as what you buy. Research by Eugene Fama and Ken French showed that company size and valuation matter far more than market correlation. Small value stocks returned 17.73% annually from 1958 to 2012, while small growth stocks returned just 4.70%. High dividend stocks turned $1,000 into $678,000, while the broader market grew to only $201,760. Yet investors consistently chase exciting growth stories while ignoring boring value stocks.
Meet Dave, a real investor who, in October 1999, sold stable stocks like Philip Morris and Exxon for internet companies. By March 2000, his portfolio soared 60% as the NASDAQ hit 5,000. After the April crash, he pivoted to tech companies like Cisco and Oracle. By August 2001, three-quarters of his retirement savings had vanished. Dave wasn't stupid. He fell victim to psychological forces affecting nearly everyone. Psychologists Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky discovered humans don't make rational decisions under uncertainty. We suffer from overconfidence. Most believe they're better than average traders, which is statistically impossible. We anchored to past prices, viewing stocks as cheap because they once traded higher, regardless of fundamentals. We sell winners too quickly and hold losers too long. Research shows heavy traders underperform infrequent traders by over 7% annually. Most damaging is myopic loss aversion, checking portfolios too frequently. People viewing yearly returns allocated far less to equities than those seeing decades-long returns. Short-term volatility makes stocks appear terrifying despite superior long-term performance. The average investor underperforms their own funds by 2 to 4% annually through poor timing, buying high during euphoria, selling low during panic. Breaking these patterns requires recognizing investing is as much psychological as intellectual, which is why advisors serve as emotional circuit breakers during market turbulence.
The path to investment success is simple yet difficult to follow. Historical evidence shows stocks return 6 to 7% after inflation with reasonable valuations, meaning $10,000 grows to approximately $32,000 in real terms over 20 years. The challenge isn't understanding this. It's maintaining discipline when markets swing wildly, friends boast about cryptocurrency fortunes, and financial media screams about the next hot sector. Successful long-term investing requires several commitments. First, recognize that stock returns stabilize dramatically over longer periods. Annual returns vary from minus 37% to plus 54%, but 20-year returns have never been negative in U.S. history. This means young investors can justify equity allocations of 80-90%. Second, invest primarily in low-cost index funds, which outperform roughly 85% of actively managed funds over 10-year periods. Third, allocate at least one-third of equities internationally. Fourth, tilt toward value stocks and fundamentally weighted indexes that deliver superior returns with lower risk. Finally, establish firm rebalancing rules and stick to them regardless of market emotions. The stock market allocates global capital and powers economic growth. Through it, companies raise funds for innovation, creating jobs and prosperity. The evidence is clear. Stocks represent the best way to build lasting wealth for those patient enough to let time work its magic. Your greatest advantage isn't superior analysis or perfect timing. It's simply the willingness to stay invested while others panic, to buy value while others chase excitement, and to think in decades while others think in days.